Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to Zero Block 30. We got the whole damn squad back together. Kate is still battling coronavirus like she's Jon Snow on the North Wall, and she's doing it gallantly, but we need her to hold the door for the remainder of the show. We'll see if she can actually get through all five rounds of the magazine today, which we do have a loaded magazine, folks, because round number one, a massive volcanic eruption happened over the weekend that sent shockwaves and tsunamis around the world. So, of course, we have a little bit of science goofing to do, but
you can count on us.
That shit is, when I started reading that they were having seismic waves and tsunamis in Chile, I was like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how far away that is. It's unbelievable how strong these volcanic explosions can be.
Oh, I've got all sorts of factoids and figures for you in this. I did my research.
Normally, it's I kind of am like, Kate's got a whole factoid. I'm not sure if I'm ready for it, but today I am fucking stoked.
Yeah.
Tsunamis are fascinating to me. Like, and I know that they are very dangerous and it's horrific, the damage that they cause, but sometimes the sheer power of Mother Nature,
it's amazing.
You're just like, oh my God, man. Like that one, there was a viral video last week where a part of a cliff in Brazil completely collapsed onto a couple boats. And you think, how often could that happen? When you're driving upstate New York and you're driving on those mountain roads, one of those boulders could pop loose at any time and smash your car to smithereens.
Yeah, well, that's what they have. Specifically why they have a lot of places on the thruway. They have gates just in case that were to happen, but that doesn't necessarily prevent any huge boulders from getting through. So you're absolutely right.
No, and even the small ones. I saw this video this weekend of these construction guys goofing around. And they're like, oh, put this boulder for landscaping. Put this boulder into the back of my truck, and it was like a Tundra, which is the same truck I drive, which is huge. And it was this boulder that wasn't even as big as like the bed of the truck. It fit in there fine, but as soon as the bulldozer like released it, the whole truck was just like, all the way to the ground. Like how heavy some of those stones are. We're really breaking some ground. Rocks are heavy. Round number two. We have found the horniest statue of all time. It's a grave statue. Our friends at OAF Nation, they put it out this weekend. And I saw the first picture, and we're going to get into it. But when they actually go up close on the statue, people were horny.
People put their actual flaps on this.
Oh, yeah. Statue. And their slits, too. And some snail trails growing down that whole thing.
All right.
Couple pieces of escargot just giving their last respects. Round number three, there's a shitstorm brewing on military TikTok, and the men on Twitter also are going through it because you're not going to believe this, folks. We had troops dancing. People lost their damn minds about it.
They
were not happy. So we're going to have to get to the bottom of that.
One guarantee of all time in the military, wherever there's a woman in uniform doing something on social media, there are 50 men in uniform crying about it.
A lot of times men who never were in uniform because there might have been women who dance. There's a lot of comments about that. Round number four, we have a prime example of some thinking about the box in the military. You're going to love this story. Round number five.
Thinking about the box in the military.
Hell yeah. Love a good box. Round number five, Charles McGee, one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, passed away this weekend at the age of 102. So we're going to take a moment and recognize some of the fantastic things.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
On to round number one. But before we do that, Kate, how are you feeling? let's do the same happy face scale. If you were going to go into sick hall where the corpsman brings it up and they say, Corporal Kate, show me what the smiley face is. Zero being I'm super sad, I'm crying my face off, to 10 being I'm very happy. Where are you?
I'm like right in the middle, the middle face that is just like a straight line mouth.
Flat affect face.
This is going on. I had to have contracted it over a week ago now. And this is going on. I'm probably on day like 9 of it. And I still, every
taste?
Day is a new symptom. Yes, I can taste, but I keep smelling vomit. Mm. I don't know what that is. I haven't
Could it be all the vomit?
I haven't vomited in days. Oh, right. And I've been blowing my nose and brushing my teeth. I don't know what it is. I keep smelling vomit. I hope that goes away, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, permanent vomit stench would be awful.
Is that great? And yeah, so we're all just a mess over here. The baby has it. I think Pat's coming down with it now. We're just a fucking mess, dude. It's baby's teething. It's
Kate, it's good. I sent a text to you in the chat and I was just curious if you knew what it meant. I said, hey, Kate, sit rep. Did you know what that meant or you just didn't see it?
Situation report.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. I know what a sit rep is. Come on. Well,
I love how she acted like, oh, yeah, like, oh, why would you even ask me that? Like, I know all these military doohickeys and whatnots.
Yeah. So okay. JJ did tie buckles, me act bamps this. I know it all.
Yeah, got
but
it.
Yeah, no, it's all been.
What's the path forward though? Do you just have to wait it out? Are you going to a hospital, a doctor to get more medicine specifically for it?
CDC is saying 5 days after like 5 days after you contract it, I guess. But they say if you have pretty bad symptoms, then you should probably wait a little longer, which I do. And then the state of New Jersey is saying 10 days. Either way, the baby's out of daycare.
There's no way to know what the CDC says. No way.
No.
That's impossible.
They changed with the day.
You'd think two years in, I would know exactly what the course of action is. I have no idea. I have no idea what it is. So whatever.
They're all guessing. They're just pulling ideas out of a hat each and every day in terms of
I know as long as I still have this uncontrollable coughing, there's no way I'm going on New Jersey Transit though, because you will get like mutinied, I feel like. So
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing yet. But anyway,
well, I told you guys how I have that sneezing condition where anytime I walk into the sun, I sneeze. And that shit's fucking terrible because if I park and I'm going in someplace, the very first thing people see is me sneezing my ass off. And they probably think I'm Corona Katie and I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm clean. I know.
And then they just start staring daggers at you.
I've never even had lice.
You've never had lice.
That's remarkable, but that, I had it.
Well, that's a mean thing to say, Kate.
That's fair because my sisters had it. And my mom, if somebody else came down with lice in one of our schools, boom, I was getting a buzz cut right away. Like it wasn't even a question.
If you're from Florida, you've had lice. That's just in my mind.
That's a thing. Florida people usually have lice.
Kate
hates Southerners. We know that. Like anytime we do a Southern, a dumb person story, she gives, even if they're from like fucking Maine, she gives them a Southern accent.
If you're from Florida or you're a volunteer fireman, you've had lice.
I wish I could have lice because I like to be able to commiserate with people, but I've never had it. I'd volunteer for it. Beard lice would be terrible. The worst.
Just all those little lice crawling around on you and whatnot and getting all in the crevices.
And none of you in the ZBT chat responded to my dandruff video that I sent the other day.
No, yeah. I did. Wait, I'm checking right now. I'm almost positive I did because I was enthralled by
the remarkable amount of dandruff.
It's ridiculous. Oh, remember I said it looks like he stuck his head in glue and it dried and it was just like peeling the glue off.
That's what I said. Like. Yeah, it looks like a very crusty Parmesan cheese head.
Some would say an eruption of dandruff.
They would. That's the news that we woke up to Saturday morning. We logged online and that's where we'll start round one because these types of disasters, when they happen, one, when it happens in a place that I'm not super familiar with, like I love to pull up the map just to get like my surroundings of the area because some of these things, I mean, even though you try to act like you know where every place in the world is, you don't. I just found out, me and Cons found out, I think 2 years ago, that the Galapagos were in South America. We had no
idea. Yes, dude, that was a big mind blow. I remember that.
I was that by Australia. Like,
yes, I did too. And then they're like, yeah, no, right off the coast of South America. I was like, that can't be right. Sure, lo and behold, sure was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Context Katie is going to tell you all about Tonga and where this happened. But first of all, have you guys ever heard of Operation Fiery Vigil or the Air Force Ash Warriors?
No, but those are two amazing names.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's from a volcano in 1991 that we're going to get to. But first, what led me to that story was this last one over the weekend.
Busting out a 1991 volcanic teaser.
Thank you.
That's why we're the best in the biz.
Shut the fuck up. This volcano is the Hunga Tonga Hunga Haapai volcano. And again, Tonga is a Polynesian country. It's an archipelago in the South Pacific.
I love an archipelago.
Archipelago. This Tonga altogether has over 169 islands. Only 36 of them are inhabited. And the total population on those 36 islands is at about 104,000 people. So not a huge country. We have been buddies with Tonga since World War I. And of course, World War II, the island hopping campaigns, all that stuff in the South Pacific. And I didn't know this, the Royal Tonga Marines actually helped first MEF in the Marine Corps in Al Anbar Province, Iraq. They were there from 2004 to 2008, side
by
side.
That's where I was. That's Fallujah area.
Yeah. So you might have served with some Tonga Marines.
Didn't even know the Tonga Marines were a thing. I love it. I'm learning so much.
This particular, and these islands, obviously, a lot of them are volcanic islands. And this, the rim of this particular volcano was just peeking out over the ocean in the South Pacific when Saturday it was blown to smithereens. So the before and after, like you could see an island, and the after, it's like gone. This thing blew it sky high. The eruption was so strong, it damaged property, shattered windows, and sent measurable and visible shockwaves around the entire world. Like, measured instruments on the complete other side of the world picked this up. According to the U.S. Weather Service, the sound from the blast was picked up in Alaska, over 5,800 miles away. And real quick, here is what that sonic boom, because it sonic boom sounded like in Fiji, over 600 miles away. And of course, and that sounds like a gun going off at like close range.
And you can't really get how loud something is from a phone or from a recording. I wonder if there's people so close, if that's what it is, 600 miles away, people that are closer, are they deaf? Like, did people lose hearing?
Well, part of the problem is the tsunami, the shockwave, everything, it messed up communication lines. So I think they're still trying to get word on exactly what is going on in Tonga right now and the surrounding islands. So far, I don't believe
it's difficult to get in there to assess too.
Yeah, yep, because the ash cloud fucks with planes and everything, and I'll get into that in a minute. But then a tsunami followed. So waves were up to 3.3 feet high in Alaska, again, almost 6,000 miles away. Even higher in California, Port San Luis got a tsunami over 4 feet high. I was watching videos. I went down a rabbit hole on social media. And people on inland tidal rivers, all of a sudden their yards started flooding the next day. And they're like, what the hell is this? And it's that from that on the other side of the world. It's crazy.
When you think about rising over 6,000 miles away, rising 3.5 feet, think about how heavy water is.
Yeah.
Like when if you've ever emptied out like a kiddie pool, like just trying to grab a kiddie pool and picking it up on the side, that's like 50 gallons you're trying to move it, and it's impossible for like a person to do unless you push this lip down and get it going and things like that. But to move entire oceans 3.5 feet, unbelievable strength.
I think like you hear like, oh, it's just a 4 foot wave. That's not that high of a wave. But when you consider how far away some of those examples,
even if
it's
right next to it, moving water 4.5 feet is a lot.
The video from the beach in Tonga, there's been one video that came out from beach in Tonga, which was much scarier, wave coming, crashing in and slamming up over the walls. And over 620 miles an hour, that's faster than the speed of sound, which is what, three something? Well, I'm an idiot.
I would have thought it was way faster than that.
I think it's in the 300s. Maybe I'm crazy. At over 620 miles an hour, the ash plume rose up.
Oh, are you talking about what's Mach 1 is like 720, I think, something like that. I think it's in and around there. Maybe it is 600. No. I mean, I'm
761 miles an hour is the speed of
sound. There you go. Well, they said that the sound that everyone heard was a sonic boom. So it was going faster than that. At over 620 miles an hour, the ash plume rose up 10 miles high into the troposphere and would eventually reach around 20 miles into the stratosphere. That is up in the ozone layer where supersonic aircraft fly. That's like so incredibly crazy high up. It's wild. It's up to the ozone layer. At this time, this giant, massive cloud, it contains a lot of fine particles that can create a charge. They're all banging into each other. Mm-hmm. Over 400,000 lightning strikes.
Whoa.
In the span of, which is crazy. You can watch it on these. It's amazing, the satellite imagery that we have. You can watch all the lightning strikes. It's insane. It's like that part of the world's just exploding. And this puts tons
of... People are sending me pictures of that. They're like, look, it looks like a butthole. Like, dude. Hundreds of people are dead. I'm not going to be butthole goofing.
We're not going to make light of this one.
Yeah. Right.
As of now, I don't know what the death toll is. They don't believe it's, I haven't seen much of anything yet. I don't know. But they also believe tons of toxic sulfur dioxide goes into the stratosphere. We don't know the amount, but this could cause acid rain that could destroy crops. I didn't even think about this across Tonga and Fiji. And if there's enough of it, it could cause global cooling. The best example of this was the large Pinatubo eruption in 1991 in the Philippines. Have you guys ever heard of this?
Nope.
It was the second largest eruption in the century. It killed nearly 1,000 people, and it injected 20 million tons of sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere. It lowered the entire Earth's temperature by a whole degree.
Wow.
Over the course of a year. And this is where the Air Force comes in. The United States Air Force had a base there where this was in the Philippines. They initiated a massive airlift effort to evacuate over 20,000 service members and their families immediately following the first small eruption before the big one. This was called Operation Fiery Vigil. For months, the volcano had been getting squirrely. So there was like tremors and earthquakes. And then on June 7th, magma started coming out. And then on June 10th, so just 3 days later, the DOD was like, you got to get 20,000 people out of this massive base. And you got to do it.
How is that not a fucking movie, dude?
And you have to do it right the fuck now.
That would be an incredible movie.
Five days later, the second largest eruption of the century went, and the base was covered in over a foot of ash. The ash was so heavy, it was collapsing buildings. Nobody could communicate. Transportation was halted. No one could go anywhere. People were trapped. And then that September, so just a few months later, a lahar, a 20 to 40 foot high and almost 200 foot wide, it's like a molten mud tsunami, went along the southern edge of Clark Air Base, sweeping away a security policeman who was, thank God he was rescued. In November, the Secretary of the Air Force visited to pay tribute to the Ash Warriors, people who had to stay behind throughout the volcano.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, to pick that shit up, like, you got one gunny out there, like, pick up all that ash and put it in your cargo pocket. Like, how do you get rid of that much ash?
But also,
where do you even put it, though? Let's say you have all the means to pick it up. Where do you put it?
But also, can you imagine 20,000 people are getting evacuated from this massive base, and they're like, but listen, PFC, we're going to need you to stay. Like, this volcano's going to erupt next
time. I'm sure those letters back in the non-digital age got lost, and somebody goes to the VA for their Ash Warrior lungs, and it's not service-connected.
Yep, absolutely.
Ash Warrior lungs. I mean, that I imagine that fucks you up pretty good.
Dude, I mean, that much, and you're there for months at a time? Like, you're the only ones in the area? It's got to be like walking on the moon.
Now, I picture, say I'm the commander, and I'm like, Cons, chaps, this volcano is about to blow, but you guys have to stay behind. We have this super secret building. You guys got to watch it.
Like, all the shit bags are like you guys are staying back. Like, yeah. Oh, you wanted to be late? Good. Now you're an Ash Warrior.
But would you stay?
Would I stay?
Or would you go AWOL? I know chaps would stay.
Probably Marine me at the time, I would have stayed. Because I would have wanted the stories. Like, and that, to me, that was part of doing everything, is like you volunteered stuff so you have stories to tell. Having that one in your back pocket's a pretty good bar story if you're trying to impress 23-year-old Kate.
That's a really good trump card. I think I would stay.
The Ash Warrior walks in and Kate's like, hello, hello.
Is that one of the Ash Warriors? Ooh, wow.
Coughing like the black lung pop.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard that story. I didn't know. And the logistics too, like I imagine 20,000 people, they could take nothing with them. Like they probably had to leave all of their belongings behind, which then were covered in ash and collapsed.
But you probably didn't have, because of that situation, you didn't have people bitching like and be like, oh no, I'm not going to go. Like when the planes come, you go. Like when, mm-hmm. in that time, I think having forced evacuations for areas where it hasn't happened is a lot more difficult than when it is. Like for instance, all the people that are in Florida, where I'm from, there'll be like a category 5 hurricane. Like, we're just going to stay and ride this thing out. We're just going to
hurricane party. Yep.
Like, what are you doing, dude? Like that thing's going to blow you to smithereens.
Yeah. I just think we have our heads so far up our butts collectively as a people that we forget that every now and again, Mother Nature just rears back and lets us know just how powerful she really is. And this is an example of that.
We'd be making this political now too. We'd be saying that the people that are staying behind are libs, like all kinds of shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bunch of crunchy granola nature freaks just sticking it out.
Ash, my family's been smoking barbecue for 20 years. I ain't worried about no damn ass, you sissies.
Let's see what this ash does with my AR-15 firing into it.
All
you
these
know?
Libs always want to get rescued when there's a little bit of ash in the air.
Yeah, well, fuck them. Anyway.
My ash, not my problem.
Clark Air Base was ultimately abandoned by the U.S. military because of the eruption. It was so bad, they were just like, you know what, fuck it, we're out.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad for as jacked up as our military is. Yeah, absolutely. Rather than wasting the money to fix it. But that's for as jacked up as our military is, they don't usually just abandon bases. There's usually like a drawdown period and they'll do it in a very organized manner. They won't just throw up
unless we've been at war there for 20 years.
Yeah,
that's possible.
The Philippines is pretty possible. Strategic. I don't know. But yeah, Clark Air Force Base was ultimately abandoned by the U.S. military. We handed it over. This also caused over 100 million. This older 1991 volcano caused over $100 million worth of damage to airplanes. And 6 different airplanes who accidentally flew into the cloud got so fucked up that they almost crashed. Like it was just
how
a disaster.
Do you accidentally fly into a volcanic cloud?
Well, I remember when I think it was 2010 or 2011, a bunch of my buddies were coming home from Afghanistan and their flights got super like all their families were waiting in California, but their flights got fucked because when they were like halfway, they had like a layover in Germany or something. Some huge volcano erupted somewhere. And because of the ash cloud, they couldn't get home. So their families who had booked a trip for like a week for their homecoming in California had to like go like, their flights ran out by the time.
We don't talk about that enough, how often your flights get fucked up leaving.
On the way home.
And how much that shit sucked.
But like, what are the odds that would happen from a fucking volcano? It's crazy. Mm. As for the Hunga Tonga, Hunga Hapai, it also had major explosions in AD 1100. I don't know how you say that. And AD 200, suggesting they occur roughly every 1,000 years. So hopefully, they said they expect a little more spit ups from it, but hopefully that's it for now. And hopefully.
Is that what they're calling it? Spit ups?
I've been around the baby too much.
Your baby, they've been spitting up a little bit. The entire island's feeling real colicky right now.
But it's just, I mean, it is crazy because I feel like everyone goes down a big science rabbit hole when shit like this happens. Like I was watching tsunami videos last night. I was reading about the stratosphere and looking at the.
Well, it's like we talked about the other week where we were blown away that tornadoes happen in other parts of the world because you never hear about it. Mm-hmm. Think about a tornado going through Paris. That's weird.
That is very weird. I thought, you know, a lot of people probably think tornadoes only exist in like Nebraska and Iowa.
Hey, that's like ours.
That. Yeah.
Heck off.
Well, I saw something. It was like a tornado in Japan. I was like, what?
Yeah. That is weird. That's an American. It's possible. It's very American. You're right. Leave that to us.
That's our natural disaster.
Hey.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. We don't come over here with some fucking typhoons.
Yeah. Don't you blow on me. Yeah.
And then when I got explained to me that a typhoon is just a different hemisphere's hurricane, I was like, you gotta consolidate those terms. Like that's gotta be just one term. Should just be
I thought a typhoon was something completely different than a hurricane.
I thought it was like a wave tornado when I was a kid. No.
Typhoon condition 5, baby. That'll get you going. That gets the old blood pumping big time.
Speaking of, don't blow on me.
All right, so there's these statues that are out and about. This, sometimes you see a story on like a different military Instagram page or like a history, and you're like, that can't be true. And the first, it caught my attention, and not because I'm a pervert, but the picture that was on the old timeline, because there's this woman who is attractive. She's wearing a small little mini skirt, and she's legitimately straddling what is a tombstone.
It's really a grave.
It's a grave, but it has like a legit metal statue laying down, prostrate on the ground, and where this woman goes and straddles it.
Yeah, and so around the world, people do look at statues as like good luck. There's all sorts of statues where you'll see the whole thing is like rusty, but there'll be a copper area where people rub for good luck. Like the Blarney Stone, there's like a slimy spot where everybody's kissing it. John Harvard, the statue at Harvard, everybody rubs his left foot. On the sassier end, Wall Street, the bull's balls are like, everybody rubs those things. They're polished gold pretty much when the rest of the bull isn't.
We have one up at school, General Sedgwick's statue, and it said that if you're like doing really bad in a class, what's that?
What school?
West Point.
Where?
Oh, okay.
West Point. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's the statue of General Sedgwick, and it said if you are doing really bad in a class the night before, you have a really big test, you go out at midnight in your full dress uniform, under arms, and you spin his spurs on the statue. And that's supposed to bring you luck to pass the test.
Well, I thought it's you hid your little cheat codes behind the spurs for the other students to take.
No.
Anyway, on the sassier end of this, the horniest statue of all was the crazy girls in Vegas. It's that row of like eight women who are just wearing thongs facing the wall at the Crazy Girls Club. No ifs, ands, or .. butts at the Riviera, and all their butt cheeks. They're like so crusty and dirty. But each one of their butt cheeks is just polished because all the men go over and they're rubbing the cheeks and getting the photos, whatever.
Or ladies.
But you're right. I was wrong. The horniest one of all is the one that Chaps brought to my attention from OAF Nation. And it is Victor Noir's grave in France. He was an ordinary man. He lived from 1848 to 1870, and he was an apprentice journalist.
Wasn't there a long time, but was there for a good time.
He was happy. Let me tell you. Jason Derulo vibes. We'll get to that in a minute. He was an apprentice journalist in Paris, and overall, generally remembered as an unimpressive fellow. But poor Victor Noir found himself wrong place, wrong time. He was the cousin of Emperor. Oh no, I'm fucking this up.
Keep it rolling.
I'm gonna power through.
Yeah.
So this guy's a journalist. Okay.
Got it.
The cousin of Emperor Napoleon III, Prince Pierre Bonaparte, was angry about an article that had been published in his paper. Because of this, he challenged the editor of the paper to a duel. Editor sent poor Victor on his behalf.
Victor is basically like Vin Dog.
Yes. Is there a way we could bring back duels, but in a more updated fashion to where we're not actually killing?
Bugle.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So Victor doesn't write the article that makes the prince mad, but he still gets sent by the paper as like the representative to this duel. Mm-hmm. When Victor was in the middle of establishing a time and place for the duel, things got tense. The prince lost his cool, pulled out a pistol, and just killed him. It was a
that
different
is not
time.
Good duel etiquette.
No,
there's still etiquette among gentlemen in a duel. Right. And that was not it. Sorry. Right.
Victor's murder enraged the public. They were already not happy with the political situation in the country, and the murder of a journalist by a member of the emperor's family was too much. He became a symbol of revolution. Over 100,000 people attended Victor's funeral, and sadly, of course, the royal got off on the murder charge, and this led to demonstrations in the streets. Despite his status as a bit of a martyr, he was buried and kind of forgotten about for 20 years. However, in 1891, his name started to become the talk of the town again. After the establishment of the Third French Republic, his body was moved from his hometown to a cemetery in Paris, a more prominent area. And to help honor his name and what he died for, a renowned French sculptor was given the job, put a sculpture of Victor on top of his grave. Using drawings for reference, the artist chose to depict Victor lying down on the ground with a hat next to him. And the one he got every detail, hair on his head, creases in his shoes, line on his face, and his enormous meaty cock.
Oh, yeah. This guy's got an absolute bulge. Yeah. If he was wearing gray sweatpants, people would be covering themselves in the streets.
We're talking about, I mean, this is a Lyndon Johnson.
Oh yeah.
This is a Jason Derulo in
this is Marky Mark and Boogie Nights. This is yes. This is Jason, what the fuck is his name, in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
The bulge in this statue, yeah. I shit you not, goes down to the top of where his knee would be. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's about 4 inches across. And we have to assume it's flaccid because
yeah.
he's dead.
John Hamm style, yeah.
Yeah. So people immediately started noticing this. And over time, the Victor statue has become, it's a symbol of like sexual satisfaction and fertility. Women from all over come to the cemetery to kiss his lips, rub the bulge on his trousers. And like this statue is like green, and then his dick is just bronze. These ladies are shining it up.
They're like, I don't want any of the pants. I don't need any of a jacket. I don't want his face. There is a little bit smudge on his face, but it's mainly, I mean, if you could imagine, it'd be like I essentially wearing some leggings with hot dog buns on the side, like in there, and it's just gripping it, the old wiener, and giving it the old polish.
Yeah. And they say, look, if you want to get pregnant, you touch Victor's right foot. If you want to have twins, you touch his left foot. You kiss the lips and rub his hat and his genitals, you'll find yourself a fertile myrtle. A great sex life, find a husband within a year. The lips and trousers bulge, again, are very shiny. So there you go. It's oxidized bronze because people are horned up over this thing.
Now imagine you're Victor and you're in heaven and you're looking down. Are you upset? Or are you flattered? I feel like at first you'd be like, this is kind of cool, people rubbing themselves on me. But after a while, you got to be tired of just getting viewed as a piece of meat just because you got gorgeous cock.
Very much objectified. So ultimately, I think it ends up being that it's not something you really want to be remembered by. Because what about all the great work he did while he was alive?
Exactly right.
Well, people tried to build a fence around it in 2004. Women said, we need that bronze cock.
And I don't understand why I decided to depict him lying down, though. Why wouldn't you make a statue standing up? That doesn't make sense to me.
Because if they knew that apple bottom jeans is going to eventually come out, and you don't want him sitting in a chair to make twerking that much easier. Like right. Now if you're going to twerk on him, you got to have good knees. But if you're sitting in a chair, old ladies and all kinds of shit could be doing.
And if disgusting. He was standing, where there's a will, there's a way. People are going to bring a step ladder.
Go ahead
and do all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I heard you mention apple bottom. Just want to say that was my pledge name in college because I have a big ass. Just want to say wow. that.
Yep, oh, we got two. Wow. Two? Con's got a big ass too.
Con's yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Fantastic. Good to know.
Two flat asses, two apple bottoms.
That's exactly right. But we got the tramp stamps, though.
True.
That's right. True. Yeah.
The asses that you don't want to have tramp stamps.
What's
on this show?
Guys up from the ass. It's an optical illusion, is what they call that.
Well, Nick has one too, I heard.
Oh, you got a tramp stamp, Nick?
Me?
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah.
What about Nona?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't you dare.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Okay.
Nona's got a fucking shamrock. Really disappointing all the other Italians.
Just be a brown spoon. Just like a thing of a brown spoon.
that would be incredible. I mean, if she got like a forearm piece, like just a wooden spoon.
The wooden spoon?
Yeah.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Let's move on to round number three. This is a TikTok story. Okay, what's going on? Because I got tagged a couple times on Twitter, and I do spend a lot of time on TikTok. I do not spend a lot of time going through like different personalities. It's just like whatever comes up on my For You page, that's all I look at. And I just like to laugh on there. I'm not following people's fucking information and shit.
Yeah, well, led me to this. I kind of just lurk in a lot of women military pages on Facebook to kind of see what the latest is, like what's actually happening on active duty or whatever. And a ton of the pages were buzzing about this on Facebook. So I knew it had to be a big deal on TikTok if it's made it to the other social media mm-hmm. sites, whatever. So basically there's PFC Joelle. She's an army medic on TikTok with about 210,000 followers. She does basic military humor, mental health awareness, and she talks about misogyny and sexism in the military. She calls a spade a spade. It's nothing disparaging or that. She's just like, here's what's happening. And, you know, let's be better.
Which, in all honesty, I think just from the jump, I think the DOD looks at social media when it's a junior troop like this, or even senior troops, and they have huge followings that aren't, that doesn't go through a PAO, that doesn't go through any type of chain of command, and you have a serious outlet, you know, deep down, they fucking hate it. Hate it.
100%. 100%. They can't monitor it at all, and they can't rightfully say, hey, you can't do this, because they're allowed to be on social media.
Oh, yes, they can. But, well, which we'll get to. But to me, if the military wants to combat a culture of misogyny, sexism, racism, it's people like PFC Joelle who are doing the best job of changing the culture of it. Mm-hmm. She's in a funny and just straightforward fucking way.
And it's not like, hey, all about that. Like, I looked at her pro, like, it's 95. It's like our show.
It's just light and goofy. It's like being in the smoke pit with your buddy, like just fun shit. But to me, this, she is the way to go. This is who the Army should be looking to, actually. But that's not what happened. So she sees this video by another soldier, Sergeant Gallimore. And this was the gist of the video. Here's the caption. When she needs an AAM, what's an AAM?
Army Achievement Medal.
But when she needs an Army Achievement Medal to pick up E6, and First Sergeant says, meet me at the office. And basically it's, you get the gist. It's the First Sergeant fucking
quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo, right. That's the joke. So that she can pick up rank, which is, this is a hacky, tired, anytime a woman, when I was in, would get promoted, oh, it's because she banged so-and-so. Like, it's like, nothing you did was good enough. There's always these losers out there saying it, but it's tired. It needs to be put away. It's inappropriate. He's in the fucking wrong. So she sees this, and she makes a TikTok saying, hey, this one, it wasn't funny. By the way, I scrolled this guy's thing. None of his videos are funny. He is a piece of shit. It's scary to me that he's a leader, whatever. She sees it and she makes a video calling him out. And she encourages others to, like, hey, when you see shit like this, call it out. It's not okay. Put an end to it. This is, again, the message that needs to be going out there.
I think you're right. So, you absolutely should police the ranks from within. That's a great point.
From there, he sees this, people start tagging him. And he contacts her command, says she's posting the video against, well, I'll let her, here's her follow-up. Let's play it here.
What's up, TikTok? It's Joel. So some of you might have seen, I posted a video calling out an NCO who posted a video he did not pro quo. By and far, I've never received any complaints about my TikToks. I've never received any backlash for it. Perhaps a little bit of heat, but I used it to warm my ass. Today, an NCO from Fort Lee contacted my NCO and told him that I have TikToks that are racist, homophobic, where I am making a mockery of the Army, where I'm half naked, and generally just terrible adjectives to describe my content. And my leadership said, perception's reality. He said, there's two sides to this coin. There's people that think your stuff is funny, and then there's the other side of the coin that apparently will always win. Long story short, people with rank and authority have the right to impose their personal feelings and emotions that are not regulations or protocol on what I post and how I post it and how I express myself. Generally, my intention for my TikToks are positive, lighthearted. I like to create a safe space for behavioral health awareness, being a woman in the Army and being feminine in the military. Creating a safe place for comedy, for laughter, influencing people of all ages and all genders.
So yeah, basically she can't post in uniform anymore. She gets reprimanded and nothing happens to him. I'm looking on his page. He issued this half-assed weird apology. And he still has weird videos about women on his page. He's still posting in uniform. Nothing happened to him. And now tons of others are like, this is fucked up. So now the Army didn't do the right thing. And so now it's picking up speed. There's tons of other TikToks now. There's kind of a movement happening where both men and women from all different ranks and even higher ranks were commenting on her post saying, wow, that's really wrong. The Army did you wrong here. That sucks. So
And it's all just so you don't have to, like, the response from the Army is a very typical response from a mid-level command, like where you have like a battalion level command where you don't want the smoke from your superior officers and superior enlisted either. And that's the reason why they make these shutdown statements. I'm surprised it didn't come from the sergeants too, but they don't want the smoke there. Like, they don't want to be dealing with that. So instead of dealing with the issue at hand and saying, this is a toxic culture problem, our PFC here is doing the right thing, they're just shutting it down because they want to focus on what's actually going on in their unit and things that they don't want external drama brought in, which in some ways you'd be like, yeah, I understand that. Like, you have a job to do, but you absolutely can't tell the one that's in the right that she can't post, but the one that was in the wrong can. Like, that's speaking at both sides of your mouth. And that's where you need a higher headquarters group to step in. Even though you don't want that to be an issue, you have to make it an issue. And, like, you can't do any, there's going to be a rule, zero social media if you're in uniform. That's if I was the DOD secretary, I would say, you cannot post. It's essentially for the Marines, it's like being out in town in uniform. You cannot do
that. And that's the easiest way, because I think by and large, so much of the content that's out there of anybody in the military in uniform, a lot of it's pretty funny and it's in good spirits and it's not meant to be detrimental to the military in any way. But for those few instances, like we're talking about here, it's just that's probably the easiest way to police up the entire military. Because you
have to have some aspects of like personality, because that's good for recruiting too. Like, you're not just showing people acting like fucking North Korean robots and marching and shit like that and shooting all the time. Seeing people that have personalities and have their normal lives and they could do that inside the structure of the military is also a great recruiting tool.
No, you're right. But so then now the burden is on this guy, Sergeant Gallimore, whoever his leadership is. And it is a burden. Don't get me wrong. It is a burden, but you need to be monitoring your subordinates' social media. Now, does that mean you need to check them every day and see that they're posting stuff that is in line with the military's values? No, I think that's too much to ask. But if you're telling me this guy has other things that are just a little bit, or not even a little bit, but just aren't great, that's not something that should fly under the radar. You should be aware enough of what is going on within your unit. And I'm sorry to say, because it is extra work for leaders, but now in 2022, that includes looking at their social media.
But ultimately, a sergeant, an NCO, should not have rape jokes about fellow service members on their stuff. Like, that that goes against who we are.
And also, I just feel like, again, there is such a double standard when it comes to what men in uniform post online versus what women in uniform post online, that what gets shit on and what's seen as okay and what's not okay. I think as long as the military is not addressing, like, how many years after Marines United are we now? Like, we'll be going on 20 years. The military will have done nothing real to stop this problem. And so I hope women in uniform, they're my heroes who speak up at, and she did so knowing she'd probably get bitched out for it, whatever. These women who just refuse to be quiet and keep calling it out while everyone else, while all their buddies are sitting around being quiet about it. Those, to me, these are the women that the military absolutely needs.
Because people like this PFC, they know exactly what the recourse is going to be, what the social media impact is going to be. It's going to be lazy bullshit constantly. And whenever you put yourself in the limelight to take that, you got my respect. The PFC definitely has my respect.
You see it and you call it out, you have my respect, absolutely. But this comes in with there's another viral thing kind of going on, Mill Twitter right now, where I think his name was Bitch Tits 0311 or something. This Marine posts a TikTok of women in the Army doing a dance TikTok in their
It's only an issue because it's women. I mean, one of my favorite videos of like time in encapsulates everything that the military was, like sense of humor, is when the Carly Rae Jepsen song came out and everybody in Iraq was making like parody videos and posting on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
And huge groups people of grunts loved
dancing
it.
To like, people loved it.
People were like, good for these folks, like out there, it's a stressful environment, to have a moment of levity is good. And then you have these fucking idiots like that were quote tweeting this video of 10 privates dancing in a barracks, which appears to be late at night when they're not doing it. They don't have fucking Netflix. They just have to entertain themselves with their phones and they're having a good time. Next thing you know, people are like, oh, this is the status quo of the military. Dude, Woody Williams talked about throwing a fucking flamethrower between his legs and making it look like he had a fire dick when he was on Iwo Jima. Let's relax that this is the downfall of the military.
The humor and the levity in the military has been here since forever. It's just now people can see it. But do you, they have no idea, I guess, all the jokes and the tomfoolery that has gone on in military barracks since the beginning of time. So it's just ridiculous that this guy thinks like, oh, no, now this is it. The army is falling apart. There goes the
soldiers with vaginas dancing. I guess China wins.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
I guess China wins. My lice are acting up down at my volunteer fireman house. There goes China winning because they're dancing.
I don't know.
Exactly right, Kate.
Shooting my AK at the ash cloud again.
Mm-hmm.
See how I tied it in? I tied it in multiple rounds.
That was very good.
Previous joke.
Yes, ultimately, just let the troops have fun.
Yeah.
Like, you see what they're going through? They got people all over the spot trying to make them do things that they're not qualified to do. They're trying to make them be teachers. Texas is trying to say that any veteran can go be a substitute teacher. What are we doing? Like, have you heard the way that we talk? You don't want us in schools.
You'll have Sergeant Gallimore sitting there with your kids. Yeah. No, thanks. No fucking thanks.
Thank you. Fuck that. I mean, seriously, all the different things that are going on, that's what we're worried about dancing. We're not worried about dancing. We should be worried about crocodiles, which they were. This video came up, or not video. It was, it's just like an old memorandum. And I believe it's from the Vietnam time period. And so they were trying to have these moats because there are certain areas where you want to have protection, and having natural protection, having animals that are a part of your perimeter security, your outpost security is great. And we used to talk about that for listening posts, observation posts all the time, having certain dogs in certain areas that were good at that. And for dogs that are going to go to a listening post, observation post, you want them to be quiet for long periods of time that have that aren't naturally like super alert. Like, we're alert to the point where they're aggressive, where they're looking out into the woods and they see something move and they're going to bark at it. You want one that can alert you with their ears, with their tail, that something's going on out there, because that is a psychological deterrent. One, when people know that you have animals, think about Ramsay Bolton. Like, Ramsay Bolton was super intimidating in Game of Thrones because he had the cane corsos that were ready to eat your fucking face off if you came through. Getting through animals is a lot different and more difficult to getting through humans, because humans are naturally going to fall asleep. They're going to be less alert. They're not that way with animals. They had an idea, these moats and these swamps around the base that they wanted to keep, they were going to bring in dogs to do this. Well, they didn't have enough trained dogs to do this. So the guy, I believe this lieutenant colonel, or the colonel that was in charge here, was looking for outside the box examples. And so this memorandum comes out and he says, look, we got to reduce the number from 30 to 15. We got to ensure the dogs are all water spaniels or Labrador retrievers. Other breeds are considered unsuitable for existing condition. They're going to be submerged a lot. So dogs that naturally like the water a ton. The second point of his memorandum, in lieu of 15 dogs deleted from the original requirement request, substitute crocodiles. Endless lagoons existing both sides are under taxiway and a runaway considered ideal areas for hungry amphibians, would greatly enhance the defenses against VC infiltration. So Viet Cong is what I assume that means. He, if necessary to comply with the spirit of Buy America campaign, Florida alligators considered suitable substitute for crocodiles. So he's saying, look, we got this thing that came down from Congress where we got to make America great again. We got to have America first whenever we have our contracts. We cannot be buying them Filipino fucking crocodiles. No. We got to get them from Florida. We got to get them Florida alligators, gators,
baby.
Yep. Yeah, which they don't say, but alligators are smaller than are bigger than crocodiles, and they're not as limber. So it's not a one-to-one substitution. No, if you want to have a more... I would have gone with caimans, but again, it's very difficult to find American caimans.
Right. A bunch of little caimans would have been a delight. I want to rip on this, but I also
it's genius.
How could you?
I love, because I feel like in the military, it's scary to have a wacky idea that you say out loud. especially at that level. I like this guy, the cojones, to say, fuck it, let's get American.
And it would be wacky. If you were coming through a night post and you are shining your little red moonbeam so it doesn't pick up a bunch of shit, and next thing you know, you see a bunch of alligator eyes in the water,
yeah,
and you have like fencing that keeps them in, you got to go through alligators.
I'm going to
you know how you defeat that? A couple packs of hot dogs. Have you ever been to Gatorland?
True.
No.
Oh, man. You just pay $5. They give you 2 packs of hot dogs. You walk around on these like wooden
Gatorland. Where are we talking? Where is Gatorland?
Florida, of course. And then you just whack
alligator
hot dogs.
Farm, Kate.
You just whack hot dogs at their heads.
In St. Augustine?
I don't know where I was, but I know I was hitting gators with hot dogs. Hot dogs were bouncing off their back.
Do we need to call PETA? You were throwing hot dogs at alligators? What's wrong with you?
I thought they were going to be jumping up out of the water. They were not. They were so bored. They were just getting hit with hot dogs.
Yeah, because they're probably just so tired of crazy tourists from Pennsylvania coming down and throwing hot dogs at them all day, every day.
I know the answer to this because I worked with working dogs, but the people who work at like alligator farms and do that, where they will just essentially bring in a wheelbarrow full of chicken breasts and chicken thighs and stand right on the edge and just tossing it in there, that's a ballsy job, man. Like, yeah. Just being the alligator keeper.
I've said it before. I think anytime, even in a quote unquote controlled environment, anytime you're tangling with a wild animal, you are susceptible to having that wild animal revert back to its instincts and hurt you. So I think you got to be a little bit off if you're doing that sort of thing.
I feel like there's like a wide range of like, there's people like me who, if I had to go back to a cubicle job, I would wither up and die. I've got, I'm pretty sure I've got ADD, like pretty bad. And I just can't have, and I feel like people who know they can't do that will find any other way in life, any other way. And sometimes that's dangling chicken in a crocodile pen.
Hey, yeah, like these guys, there's these videos that I see of these dudes that work in, and ladies that work in these exotic snake houses, where they bring out like the vipers and like they're trying to put them into buckets and they're super poisonous. No shot. I'm doing that job.
But they probably just couldn't do cubicle work. And so they're like, well, I guess the snake farm's down the road.
No chance those dudes could be an accountant.
I feel like there's got to be an option other than cubicle work before you go right to the freaking snake house.
Well, I don't think so, Con.
I think that would be my least preferred job to have, would be that.
Snake farm?
Snake farm. Anything to do with
that snake church?
I'm a big reptile guy.
No.
Snake church? Yeah, there's a bunch where I'm from.
I understand it, chaps, because as we know, the snake is merely just the devil incarnate. So
I'll say this one more time. I went down to visit somebody on Fort Bragg whose husband, they had a house there. They had 3 kids. One of the bedrooms, a small Fort Bragg enlisted housing, one of the bedrooms wasn't for the kids. It was for his snakes.
That's not a person you need in your life. I'm sorry. Snake people are weird. And if you're listening and you have a snake,
are they venomous?
Just know that I think you are weird.
Yeah, they were nasty ass snakes. And he was like, it's feeding time. You want to come up and watch? I was like, no.
No, I'm all set. Yeah.
No.
Also saw a video this weekend. I had no idea. Did you know snakes fart?
No, that's interesting. No.
Yeah, I saw one, and this snake he's in a terrarium just hanging out. Might be a lady snake, I don't know. But
could be a snake queef.
True. So the snake's like all coiled up, like it looks like it's ready to like strike at something. Next thing you know, the snake goes and like it does like a strike fart. And the guy was laughing. He's like, I've never heard a snake do this. I've been around snakes 25 years and I've never heard it do it. And then it reached back again. Double fart right in my face. I was like, holy shit, I had no idea.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
That. Yeah, you experience different things that the older you get in life, and I haven't even been to 102, so I can't imagine what I would see. Like our subject of our last round, what do we got there, Kate?
Yes, Charles McGee, a Tuskegee Airman who flew 409 fighter combat missions over 3 wars, has died. He was 102 years old. Vice President Harris and Secretary of Defense Austin on Sunday announced his death on Twitter, both of them calling McGee an American hero. While I am saddened by his loss, I'm also incredibly grateful for his sacrifice, his legacy, and his character. Rest in peace, General, wrote Austin, who did not specify where McGee died. The Tuskegee Airmen is the nickname of the first African-American unit to fly combat airplanes in World War II. McGee was among more than 900 men to train in rural Alabama from 1940 to 1946 after the Army Air Corps was forced to admit Black pilots. About 450 deployed overseas and 150 lost their lives in training or combat. McGee was one of only a few pilots, white or Black, who flew combat missions in that conflict and during the Korean and Vietnam Wars.
That's crazy. Crazy. World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, that's wild.
Yep, and especially after, and it's well documented, troops of color who came home after World War II were not treated with any sort of respect. Fucking horrible, and he still volunteered over and over. You could say that one of the things we were fighting for was equality, equality of opportunity. We knew we had the same skills or better, he told the Associated Press in a 1995 interview. After he turned 100, McGee was accorded an honorary commission promoting him to the one-star rank of Brigadier General under a congressional measure signed by President Donald Trump. The Tuskegee Airmen deployed 251 enemy airplanes, They were awarded a total of 150 distinguished flying crosses for their service, 8 Purple Hearts, 14 Bronze Stars, 3 distinguished unit citations, and 744 air medals and clusters for their service in the U.S. military. So pretty impressive life. Charles McGee.
Yeah, if you haven't read some of the background, and not from like a movie, but like if you haven't read some of the background of what happened to Tuskegee Airmen, it is their boot camp situations that they had to go through. It's absolutely remarkable that they wanted to continue with their service. It'll blow your mind if you've never read it. Let's move on to Save Rounds and Alibis, which today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Simply Safe. If you haven't checked out Simply Safe, make sure that you do it. They have the best home security system in the biz. You can get all kinds of things that you would possibly need from our friends at Simply Safe, like their 1080p outdoor camera that makes everything super easy to monitor what's going on. One of the things that I like about having it now is that whenever it's attached to my phone, if I get any type of alert like, oh, you left the door open, it lets me know. And like, hey, it doesn't say this, but it basically should. Hey, McCartney's dumbass left the back porch open once again whenever they let
you should Dale. Talk to them about letting you program it that way.
Yeah,
you
should. I just need an alert like McCartney went outside, like mother of God. That should not happen at all. We love Simply Safe. It's because everything that you need, including indoor, outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored by around the clock trained professionals. Make sure you get 20% off today by going to Simply Safe, and your first month is free when you sign up with the interactive monitoring service. That's visit simplysafe.com/CBT. Again, simplysafe.com/CBT for 20% off your full system. It's the best deal that you're going to find all year right here with Simply Safe. Let's do a little bit of Save Rounds Alibis. Nick, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's really loud here in HQ, so I'll make this quick. I worked in corporate America for 15 years, and I would gladly go dangle the chicken in a crocodile pen before I go. So thank you.
That's fair. That's fair. Cons?
Chaps, you see that video of the dude dealing with the steaks on the grill?
The steaks?
Yeah, the guy snakes. Who opened the steaks. The guy who opened the grill, and there was a big fiery ball, and he had six or seven steaks, and he just put them right on the table to get. You didn't see that video that was floating around? I think yesterday.
I can't believe you saw it, chaps. Even I saw it. Even Grill Twitter was on my. I don't know. They missed it.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, Nick saw it too. I was just so surprised that he had nothing. A plate or a tray, nothing out there. And he just put those steaks directly back onto that dirty ass table he had outside. I was just curious what you thought about that. And then speaking of food, Alex and I went out to dinner on Saturday. And if there's anybody listening who has been a server or is a server or works in the food service industry, please explain something to me. So we get there. I drop her off because it was frigid here this weekend. I'm talking single digit temperatures. So I drop her off at the front of the restaurant, so she can just walk right from the car into the restaurant and doesn't have to deal with the cold. Gallant move by me, no big deal. That's just standard for the course. And so I go and I park, but when she walks in, there were a few people, it's a smaller restaurant. There were a few people sitting, but there were certainly a few open tables. And like, oh yeah, no, we can't sit you until your full party is here. And she says, oh, I'm just waiting. He's just parking the car. I'll be here in like 2 minutes. Do either of you know why restaurants do that? Why they don't sit people until their entire party? Like, what's the difference of her sitting at the table versus standing in the doorway waiting?
Because sometimes desperate people lie. and their full party's not coming. So then the liar gets set, gets drinks, gets whatever, and then like half the table never shows up, but they still, at least it's too late now, we've got our drinks, we got our this, and now we've got the table.
I used to be a hostess, that makes sense.
And people are fucking scumbags. Yes, that's why.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm not begrudging the restaurant. I really like the restaurant we went to. It's delicious. I was really just genuinely Wendy's. Curious.
What type of restaurant do you think you're most likely to run into somebody who's an asshole as a patron? I think steakhouse.
Steakhouse for sure. Why? Because steakhouse gets people that don't normally go to fancy restaurants, but it's like an occasion, so their expectations are, which your expectations should be high, but sometimes they're a little crazy town. I feel like
I think steakhouse simply because you're gonna have, I would, especially at fancy ones, people who are can typically afford to get like nicer things, and they expect it a certain way, so they're gonna be even more assholes like whenever they're there. I bet you talk to somebody who is a waitress or a waiter at like a fancy five-star type of hotel, every single one be like, oh yeah, man, this fucking guy Rick, what a dickhead Rick is.
And you're right. Yeah. I think I was wrong there. I would argue that the richer the person is, the more the odds are higher they'll be more of a dickhead.
Yeah. And there's I saw this thing on Twitter where it's like you have good, super rich people don't give a shit about a whole lot of stuff. They're going to be fine because they've been rich for so long that having like money is no big deal. But the newly rich person is the person who's going to be the biggest asshole.
Yes, because they then now think they're entitled to something and to be treated a certain way. So I would agree with that. I think that's a good guess. The nicer the restaurant, the more likely you are to deal with a jerk of a patron. So interesting. All right. Well, that's all I got.
I've been ordering because I can't go anywhere still. I'm pretty sure I'm still like hawking up COVID germs. I got to get a rapid test somehow. I got to get another test somehow. Whatever. I'll figure it out. Anyway, I've been ordering food for delivery from like 10 feet away, from like across the street.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, can you bring it all up to the third floor and leave it at my door at COVID? They're probably like, ew. Oh, God.
Ew, David.
Ew, David. Ew. So nothing on my end. I feel like the Marines making me hydrate. Your girl was peeing out of butt for many days.
Oh, yeah.
Many days.
Elaborate on that.
Yeah. So just been hydrating. Thank you, Marines, for that. That's it. I got nothing.
We had a huge storm here the other day and gust of wind, 75 miles an hour. And it was like 30 degrees outside, 35 degrees outside. Blew all the power out. And I have a big time bone to pick with the power companies here. One, why do my lamps turn on when the power goes out in the middle of the night? I was sitting there. I told Annalise Friday night, I'm like, it's been such a long week. We had so much other like personal family stuff going on. It's like, I just want, and I never say this, it's like, I want to sleep in on Saturday morning to like 9 o'clock, get some good rest and just relax. We stayed up late watching a movie. And then the storm rolls through at one, and I have it on my security cameras at 1:30, at 3, at 3:25, and again at 5. The power surged where it caused all the lights in my master bedroom to come on, like including the lamps. So the lights, like I can hit this button and it turns off everything, but the lamps, I had to get up out of bed like 3 times to turn off all the lights. I was furious.
That's not a storm, that's a ghost.
I don't want ghosts. I don't want any of that stuff.
You know, you got tabs on Chesty Puller. You know where he is?
No, I tell
him. Right in your bedroom, turn lamps on.
No, he's right here.
Never far from your heart.
That's right. Yeah. And that's it, basically. I wanted to complain about having that one. There's a tsunami and volcanic explosion going on in other parts of the world. But that doesn't affect me. I want people to focus on my life and my struggles. And we'll do that again on Friday on the retreat. We'll be right back.